Welcome to The Bridge, your ERG podcast. Our mission is to connect people, purpose, and progress through topics that are relevant to every teammate. And now, this month's host, Roots.
Hey there, listeners. My name is Marianne Peek. I'm an AIP specialist based out of Emporia, Kansas, and a member of the Roots ERG and today's host for The Bridge podcast. Today, we're diving into the world of change management with an expert who has navigated numerous organizational transformations throughout their career. I am super excited for our guest today and the conversation we're about to have. And with that, please welcome Jackie McLaughlin, our very own Vice President of Strategy Enablement here at Farm Credit Services of America, Frontier Farm Credit. Welcome, Jackie.
Wow, that was quite the intro. I don't know if I can live up to those standards, but I will definitely try. But hi, Marianne, how are you today?
I'm awesome. We're so glad you're here to talk about change management, change leadership, just change in general, and how we can all walk through it with a little more ease.
Love it. Well, the timing is right. I think that as an organization, we got a lot going on, right?
We certainly are looking at change currently.
We got a few little small things going on.
You know, one or two little deals here or there.
Yeah.
And so I guess starting right off, let's talk about some of the verbiage. So, I mean, as with everything at Farm Credit, we love a bunch of terms. And would you take a minute to explain the difference and maybe what it means when we say change management versus change leadership and then strategy enablement and how those all kind of tie together and what makes them different?
Absolutely. So strategy enablement, let's start there. That is my functional team. I get to experience this awesome bridge. I call us the bridge. We have the opportunity in strategy enablement to sit in between the teams and the great thinking around our strategy, our products, where are we going in the future, and how do we get there, and how might we? That those folks are always thinking about that. Then on the other side of my bridge is the delivery folks. It's everybody who makes that dream come to reality. So it could be processes and training and technology and program managers, et cetera. So when we say strategy enablement, we're that bridge. We're that bridge. We take the ideas and the thoughts and the aspirations of our organization and our strategy, and we work with our delivery partners to deliver upon those dreams. So that is what we do all day long. And hopefully that demystifies the name strategy enablement team. We call ourselves the SET team because we all love another acronym, right? So SET, SET. But you asked the question about the difference between change management and managing change versus leading change and being a leader of change. And I would say that the difference between those two really is pretty impactful. Managing change is really the design elements of the change, the tactical elements of the change, managing it, planning it, being a project manager of that change, understanding the impact, the magnitude of that change and the impact, the key stakeholders, who are the key allies, who may not be a supporter of that, and coming up with tactics on how you engage them, how you bring them along in the journey, how you talk about the change, your communication approach, the knowledge, making sure people are knowledgeable and proficient. Reinforcing it, coaching plans, et cetera. So that's kind of the tactical elements of managing change. And we have a team of specialists that do that all day long. I like to call them the Steven Spielbergs behind the change. You'll never really see them on camera. You'll never really see them on a top story or a podcast maybe, but they're working with our product managers, our senior leaders, our leaders, all those folks to really bring that change into our daily lives every single day. So that's kind of the managing side of change. The other question you asked me is, what's the difference between leading change? And I would say all of us play in that category. It's the emotional part of it. It's how you show up as a teammate, how you show up as a leader, how you just show up as a human to coach others, coach folks, help them show high degree of empathy, encouragement, listening, challenging the new perspective to come to a reality, bringing that direction, accelerating our mastery of that change. So I think everybody plays a role in leading change, irregardless of your functional role within this organization and how you show up as a teammate in this space, how you show up as a peer, how you show up a change champion, et cetera. So that's the two distinctions between those two. And sometimes we use them interchangeably, but in my head, I think of them in two different parts.
Absolutely. So, I mean, what I kind of took away from that is that change management is really the tactical, tangible change we're walking through, but change leadership is the emotions around it and how we can all work together to move forward through that change. Is that kind of
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely. And I think you nailed it. It's the planning of the change, and it's how I show up as a teammate in leading through that change. So I think you've nailed it very simplistically, and it was well said.
Well, I think that kind of leads us into a conversation around change leadership, because we are walking through change right now as an organization. Everybody feels change, and we're all experiencing the same change, but we might be feeling it differently. So change is inevitable in our organization. We're all walking through it currently, but leading through change effectively is another matter entirely. And I know through your career, you've faced lots of various changes and challenges. Can you share some insights into your approach to leading through change?
Absolutely. So let's start with your first comment that you made. Change is inevitable. As an organization, as a business, we have to adapt and we have to stay current to our competition, to the market conditions, to our customer needs. There is a very, very, very long list of companies that put their head in the sand when it came to change. And you can see what happened to those organizations. Let's talk about Blockbuster. I think everybody can understand Blockbuster, the Blockbuster scenario. Blockbuster had a tangible asset of VCRs and Betamax recordings and DVDs and all that stuff. But they didn't really adopt to the streaming data services. So what happened to Blockbuster? They started off and they just tried to hold on to that market share, and they didn't adapt. And then here comes Netflix. And if you think of Netflix, not what you experience Netflix from today, but think of Netflix, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. They started off as a delivery service of DVDs to your home. And they started to see the conditions change in the marketplace. And they started to see how consumption of entertainment content was changing. And they adopted to that change. Now, every single one of us, myself included, we pay $19.99 a month for our Netflix membership because I would ask, like, how many of us even have heard of Blockbuster anymore? Blockbuster is such a thing of the past. So just like our organization, I mean, we're a 100-plus-year organization. We are going to continue to have changes, and we will adapt to those changes. And that's what makes this organization, I think, special. And it sets us apart from our competition is that we have strong aspirations, strong strategies to stay competitive in the marketplace. So all of that in our world means that every single one of us that works here and serves our customers in this space, we all have to adapt to change. But I think also when we think about this and we think about change, it doesn't always mean positive, right? So some changes are, we feel it as good, some of it we feel as bad, or maybe at a loss. And I know before when Marianne, we were talking about this earlier, you shared with me a story about your daughter. Can you share that with the audience today? You said you were going through kind of a personal change with your daughter.
Well, we all go through changes every day, and those aren't always applicable to work, but sometimes, I mean, we change in life every day. And like, for an example, I've got a daughter, my youngest, my baby is graduating preschool, which is so fun and so exciting. Mm-hmm. And then it's also this like signal loss towards her babyhood, her young adolescence, and we're growing into this family of four with bigger kids and bigger activities, and all of that's very exciting and fun, but there's a little bit of sadness to walk through too.
Right. I mean, so while you're happy about seeing your beautiful daughter thrive into being no longer a toddler, now she's in that kid phase, that's fun time. It's exciting, but you're on your other side of your heart, you're thinking of the loss of her childhood, her toddler years. And I think when we talk about leading change, it's the change itself may not always be a negative change or a positive change, but how we emotionally connect to it is different from person to person. And sometimes you just can't manage that. So when we go back on the flip side of the coin and we talk about change management, I can't really control your emotions, can I? I can't plan for how you react to that, right?
Well, and I find it interesting as well that we can all be experiencing the same set of criteria, but each one of us can visualize that positively, negatively, and then that's where that leadership, I assume, plays in versus management.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we think about change leadership, and I really want to encourage all of our listeners to think about, you know, it's not a team or a group of people that is responsible for the emotional, you know, response that I have as a teammate. It's all of us, and we're all responsible for how we think about change. And there's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of behaviors that go into that. You could feel a sense of loss. You could feel a sense of identity change, maybe control change, maybe some job responsibility shifted around. Maybe your structure changed. These are all concepts of a podcast that I recently listened to from Patrick Lencioni. And I think I pronounced his name wrong. I think it's Lencioni.
I think it's Lencioni.
I've read a lot of his books, and this is the first time that a senior leader shared with me a podcast series that he's been having, and I've been an avid listener to that. And he really talks and dissects this in a great way, and hopefully that our listeners will go out there and YouTube and Google this, you know, to find out. He talks about really the seven different kinds of losses that we feel when people go through change. And there's no way to manage that, but there is a way to support it as teammates, as leaders, as friends. And I think that's really a part of the story that we need to really understand and embrace is that every teammate has a responsibility in leading change. And it's how we show up for one another.
And how can each of us be ready and open for that change?
Yeah. That's a great question. And I wish I had a magic wand to wave and say, these are the guides that you must follow to be ready and open for change. But there is no really secret sauce to that. So I think when I think of change, I think of adoption, understanding, readiness, am I willing? I think of those kind of categories. So let's break that down a little bit further. So how do we understand the change? Are you open to new perspectives? When you sit there and listen to maybe a new strategy that's rolling out or a new program that's rolling out that's going to change your role, change your structure, maybe change your responsibilities, are you putting yourself in a position to be curious and to listen to understand? Or are you listening to respond? Are you waiting to talk and almost put up a defensive posture? Or are you being curious to understand what's in it for me? What's in it for our organization? What's in it for our teammates? Why are we doing this? Help me deeply understand this strategy. What does this look like for our customers? What does this look like for our association? While it may be a personal change to you, it may be the right thing that we do as an organization. And I think how we all can be ready is to be active listeners and approach these things with a set of highly curious, open minds. and really think about the future that we're trying to create together and really embracing that. Now, it doesn't mean lower your voices. It doesn't mean, ask difficult questions. It doesn't mean, try to challenge the process. That's not what it means. But it does mean try to think and rewire your brain to think differently on how might we solve for this together. I always think of that first is start with your ears first and your mouth second. I think my grandma used to say there's a reason why God gave you two ears and one mouth. You should be listening twice as much as you're talking. And so I just always encourage that when we're thinking about how we all can be ready for change.
And I think what I kind of thought of while you were saying that was just this reminder of we're all playing for the same team.
Right.
That sticks out to me as ask the tough questions, ask the challenging questions so we can all grow and all be better. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean lower those so that you get on board, but just how do we all become better? Because we're all playing for the same team.
I think that's a excellent way. I've heard somebody say are you playing for the team on the front of your jersey or are you playing for the name on the back of your jersey? I've heard a leader say that before. And that's a really good way of thinking about it is uniformly, we want to play for the team that's on the front of our jersey.
Right. Absolutely. That's all on change leadership. And then there's the functional side or the technical, tactical side of change management. What tools and techniques do you use to manage change here, knowing that you can't anticipate every emotion that's going to be felt through this?
Yeah, great question. And I just want to give a plug to this organization. I would say, like many areas of our business, Farm Credit Services of America, when I came here 4 years ago, they already hadn't made an investment in change management and they were ahead of the curve. I think a lot of companies now are realizing that strategies die on the vine when they're not focused on the people part of the change first. And so again, I just applaud this company for bringing that practice in-house well before my time. And when I came here, we have a set of tools and practices and techniques. There's a lot of models out there, and you can be a steward and a student of many, many models of how do you effectively guide and deliver change. The model that we practice here is through ProSci. It is called another acronym. I'm going to test you on this, Marianne. It's called ADCAR. Have you heard of ADCAR?
Yes, but don't make me tell you what it stands for.
Okay, so how about we do this together?
Okay.
So the A is awareness. So when you think of a technique of how do I build awareness, give me an idea there. How would you start to think about the awareness techniques? What examples do you think of?
I'm going to think about our executing with transparency initiatives. I'm thinking about our weekly videos with Mark or things like that. That's
love
what
it.
Comes to mind when I'm thinking of awareness.
Love it. Love it. So there's a set of techniques that we focus on just to build awareness, just to make sure people are aware. I loved your example on execute with transparency. So that is a great one. It is a great example. There's nothing to do. We want to make an awareness. We want to make sure everybody understands the approach. So then the D of ADCAR is desire. Now I'm starting to flip the model a little bit. Now that I've made you aware, how do I start to build a technique around making this a desirable set of changes for you? This is where you start thinking about the messaging. What's in it for me? What's it in for Marianne? What's in it for Jackie? What is it in for every teammate? And how do you communicate that? Because naturally humans try to solve the problem with the how first. And they jump into the next letter, which is the K. And the K is knowledge. So when you think of knowledge and training. Give me an example of that in your experience of like, when were you asked to go to training? When were you asked to build your knowledge?
Well, I mean, I think it started pretty early with our NTO. It used, when I started way back, it was in EO, new employee orientation. And then from that, you know, I learned my original role in crop insurance. And now we've got all of our ramp trainings and our entire team building out those knowledge bases. And I think knowledge is one thing we've got in abundance in this organization for sure.
Yeah, you are so right. Yeah, I think we focus a lot and we have a ton of great teammates and disciplines that focus on the knowledge. But if I just stick you in a training class and say, hey, Marianne, go and learn this thing, but you don't have the awareness of it and you don't really have the desire of it, my output on the knowledge is probably going to be low.
Right.
Because
why
you're
do I want to know that?
Why do I want to know that? Why do I care? Why are you teaching me this thing? And then that's where I would say the change curve gets very, very high. We have introduced awareness, desire, knowledge, acceptance, and we're getting to that point where we really start to see those behavioral changes. Those behavioral changes might really exist with, are you doing a function differently? Are you performing within a system differently? Is it a technology that is being introduced to your desktop? Is it, you know, so that, that is it a new skill you need to learn to be proficient at your job? So that's kind of the top of that change curve, but we never want to forget the reinforcement part. We know, and there has been many, many, many studies that, you know, what you learn in school and class, if it's not practiced and reinforced, the skill doesn't develop. So there's a set of tactics on how do we continue to reinforce? How do we continue to coach? So when you asked about the tools that we use, the ProSci tool is built on that ADKAR model, ADKAR. Mm-hmm. And there's a set of tools and techniques that our change practitioners utilize to really kind of dissect the approaches and plans, working with those program teams, those leaders, those senior leaders, those training partners, et cetera, to make sure that experience end to end feels good for the folks that the change is being introduced to. So when you're asked as a teammate to kind of start to, hey, we're going to introduce a new change, you might see it in a realm of, I'm going to hear some messaging first. And I'm going to start to hear about the strategy. And that's how it's going to start. And because it's a very mindful approach before you go into just sit in this room and learn this thing. We're not, if we do that, then we failed at our model and living the principles of our model. So just a day in the life of those change practitioners looks like that. And they're constantly focused on what stage are we in for this change? Are we, you know, it's a life cycle. Mm-hmm. And the techniques and tools and tactics that you use in the various forms of the life cycle will be different end to end.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So awareness, desire, knowledge, acceptance, and reinforcement are kind of our ADKAR model that we work on for change.
Yep. When you're managing the part of the
change.
Managing
yep.
it. Yeah. Man, you're a really good student.
Well, I take notes, so.
So can I ask you another question?
Please, please.
So in your role, what is some, let's talk just professionally, your role. What big changes are you thinking about right now?
Well, a couple of big ones are coming. So we've got, I'm an AIP specialist, which is AIPs are the approved insurance provider. In a short summary of what I do, I'm kind of the relationship manager between the insurance companies and Farm Credit.
Yeah.
So there's always change. Everything's changing all the time. And that is part of my role, is to kind of anticipate those changes and make them as smooth as possible in the small sector of insurance. Mm-hmm. A big change coming is our BRISC platform that surely everyone in insurance has certainly heard about at this point. And that is going to be a change that is big for my role. Another one would be just the collaboration. So adding an entire association, which is going to have new teammates, new AIPs. It's going to open a lot of opportunities for new relationships. And that's all kind of on my plate, future outlooking for what's coming.
Yeah. And that's just one teammate talking to another teammate. And you had three big ones right on your plate. And I'm sure all of our listeners today, all tens of them, I'm hoping that it's tens of thousands, right? Tens of thousands. We're going viral. We're going viral. We're a hit. But just think of your personal experience multiplied by every teammate in this organization. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of change. And there are techniques and tactics on how to manage that. But you as a teammate, you can lead. You can lead yourself. You can lead your teammates around you. It's almost infectious on how one teammate and how they show up in a moment of change will have a viral impact on the behaviors of those that they're sitting around you. If you show up, going back to what we first talked about, if you show up with that defensive posture, ears are turned off, I'm not listening, my mind is closed, that is going to have an impact of everybody sitting around you. You can also lead through change differently, and you can lead through change through showing up with a more of a curiosity mind. There is a saying in this discipline space: are you leading a path to better, or are you leading a path to bitter?
Interesting.
I think it's like the fork in the road. Every single one of us are responsible for making the decision on what path we choose to adopt. Mm-hmm. Are you leading a path to better and moving something forward, an initiative, and accepting of it? Or are you moving a path to bitter? And each path has a different outcome. So yeah. I'll leave it at that.
I love that. Let's get into just briefly. I am really interested in our executing with transparency strategy. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a cornerstone of effective change management and a vital initiative that we're ushering our association through. So would you share with us on how the organization is executing with transparency? I feel like that's just kind of, like you said before, it's sort of nothing, but sort of everything. And would you kind of explain that to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to the model awareness, that ADKAR model, making sure that we are transparent and aware as an organization of our path and our road ahead will have a positive effect on how we lead through the change. So execute transparency was an initiative, a strategic initiative from last year. And there was a lot of elements that we delivered as a part of that. And this is all based on teammate feedback. What is our strategy? What are we working on? Where are we going as an organization? What are our big programs? How are we going to evolve for the marketplace? So our prioritization. What is our priorities? We made that very visible. So just a quick plug, every teammate has access to our enterprise prioritization dashboard. It is in Access America, in dashboards, right underneath the IP dashboard. We know the IP dashboard is a very well-used dashboard. So real estate is everything. We are the one right below it. And from there, you can see every single program that all of our delivery teammates are working on every single day. And so that was step one. Step two was really make all work visible. When this is in the delivery space, so you know, in that spirit of the programs that we're delivering, we need to make everything visible. So we implemented new tools and techniques across 300 to 400 delivery teammates to ensure that we were properly holding ourselves accountable for our delivery commitments. We also looked at the targets of our completion and how are we delivering towards that? How is our product working with our roadmaps and our product discipline? So all of that is now visible to everybody in the organization. If a great place to go, and another plug would be in Access America on the very top hand right navigational bar, you'll see a tab called Strategy Central. Strategy Central is your one-stop shop to answering all of those things. What is our priorities? What is our association strategy? What is our supporting plans, our business unit plans, et cetera? All the way to what does our product roadmaps look like? And what are we working on and delivering? So that is a great informational hub. So if you ever have some downtime in your day-to-day and you just are going to come and approach it with a mind of curiosity, go out there and explore. There's so much out there to learn.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know half of those things were out there. And
there
it's exciting to know that that's not something I have to stay on top of, but I have the opportunity if I'm coming into change with the curiosity mindset to be able to access that information. That's really encouraging.
Absolutely. This organization continues to impress me every single day. In my former life, I've worked at organizations that kept a really, really, their strategies and their tactics very close to their vest. And as an employee, that's what we called ourselves at those other organizations, an employee, it kind of hits you sometimes as a blind spot. What are we doing? Where did this come from? This organization continues to impress me that we hold honesty, transparency, integrity at one of the top pillars of our strengths. We want every teammate to be engaged and involved and aware and knowledgeable about the path ahead. And so I just think it's yet again another differentiator as to what makes this place very special.
Yeah. And it feels like that's really fostering a culture of trust and collaboration, that transparency.
I agree. Yeah.
Lastly on this topic, would you share some of the kind of the results, the positive and negative results we've seen with our association and how we're growing and changing based on that?
Absolutely. So let's start back with a couple of things we did to really increase the execution with transparency. So it started with our prioritization process. We refactored that, reimagined it, remodeled it. We have a set of senior leaders that came along the journey. And I get the opportunity every month to engage in this forum, and it is quite insightful, and to see the level of deliberation and the mindfulness that is occurring when our prioritization team meets to really provide a perspective of what's the highest priority things in our organization that we must accomplish, and that guides then the delivery process. So, couple stats out there, we have. I think last year, the prioritization team, we met every single month. They reviewed over, Ann McCarthy's probably going to fact check me, but I know it was 75 or more business cases. So they really do make a conscientious investment to making sure that they understand the things that we're looking to invest in and making the right decisions. So that team is, kudos to that team. They put in a lot of hard work. Then it goes to delivery. And like I said, we have 3-4, maybe even closer to 500 teammates in this segment of the world where those business cases need to be executed and they need to be executable. And there's way too much to talk about when it comes to how we do that. But just some stats is last year when we started to remodel this house and how do we execute at an enterprise level consistently across a multitude of teams. I think there's, you know, a team of teams and stuff like that. There's dozens of them. You know, we have increased our delivery performance exponentially year over year. Last year, we delivered over 55 epics. Our teams accepted a challenge of really delivering on our commitments. We set a challenge bar in front of those leaders and those teams to say, when we make commitments, let's deliver upon them. And here's an industry standard ratio. We consistently are at or above or near that goal line. And that's a good model there. And then our product teammates are always putting in the hard work to stay ahead of delivery. You think about their tough job. They have to really kind of forecast what's coming ahead. What are the roadmaps? What are the market conditions? What is our business units going to do? And how do we go alongside them to make this an amazing product experience for our customers? And those roadmaps are now all available. There's a lot of great research and thinking, customer insights with our innovation team and our customer success team. It's just, there's a lot, there's so many examples of how Execute with Transparency has really manifested itself out. But those are just a few that I can think of right off the top of my brain.
Yeah, it sounds like your team is working really effectively. It sounds like as an organization, all of the pieces to the puzzle kind of fit together to work. And
yeah, I would say it's not just my team. I could say is so many teams that are involved in this. And if you think about, you know, a rowboat and making sure everybody's rowing in the same direction, that's a hard thing when you think about 400 or 500 teammates doing this and we're rowing in the same direction. But I would say with what we have done with this organization, you know, and the grace that we've provided each other, the support, the coaching, the mentoring, nobody's in it alone. Everybody's trying to row in the same direction together and really support each other in the decisions that we're making, whether you're a decision maker at enterprise prioritization, or you're even a decision maker at the team level, and you're thinking about how do we create awesome training content. You know, if we are consistently rowing in the same direction, we will continue to receive the benefits of great results. And I am a true believer that we are on the right path. We're on the path to better in this area.
Absolutely. And that's exciting. It's exciting to see where we're going.
It's been a fun journey. And, you know, we all must be mindful that we're never, ever done learning and we're never done continuously adapting. So bringing back that blockbuster story, we can't stop here. The challenges that we face today are going to be different tomorrow. So embracing that mindset of constant evolution, constant improvement, year over year, that's just the world we're going to have to live in and to make us all successful. So that's what's exciting. That's what, you know, keeps me motivated every morning when I walk in this door is the what next. And I love the experiences that I'm able to observe with these teams.
Well, I have learned so much. I know our listeners have learned so much. And I think that it's time for a little rapid fire hot seat. You and I have gotten to connect several times, so I know how cool you are, but it's time for the organization.
Oh, no. Is this the area that we have to keep it clean? Keep these answers real clean. Don't share any of my dirty secrets that I share with you, Marianne.
They're safe with me. They're safe with
me. Okay, good. Good.
Okay, let's start off. Do you play any musical instruments?
Why, yes, I do. I actually play piano. As a child, I know many parents, including myself, get their kids into like select sports and all these select teams and club teams. If you can imagine this, there is a concept like that in music and in instrumental music. So as a child, I went to a conservatory of music. I'd go to a normal school during the day, and at night I would go to a conservatory of music to learn more about piano and my craft. And we competed everywhere. And Marianne, I am going to tell you something that most people don't know. In 1989, I did win a major award as being the regional outstanding performance winner in a classical piece in a tri-state area. So
in a tri-state area?
Yes, in a tri-state area. So if you ever want to see my trophy, that is the one and only trophy that I still kept from my childhood. So I still have
it. That's incredible. As a past Suzuki pianist.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I support it. That's incredible. Oh.
And that type of learning is so fascinating to me. I am not a Suzuki player, so I can't do it. I don't have very good ear training, so I have to read the music.
It obviously didn't stick for me, but you know.
Well, that is so cool, and I'm in awe of that. Whoever can do it, and there is many talented pianists in this organization, and I've had the pleasure of working with several of them. So I just love that talent.
Incredible. What are your hobbies? What do you have a hobby?
You know, my hobbies, I would say I'm kind of like you. My first hobby is being probably a pretty active mom. Mm-hmm. I have three kiddos. I shouldn't call them kiddos anymore because I have one in college, I have one in high school, and I have one graduating from eighth grade, and he'll be in high school next year. So I would say one hobby would be me sitting in a bleacher watching a whole bunch of lacrosse games. And so that is the sport. Lacrosse and golf is what my kids play. But my husband and I, a couple years ago, bought a older home. And I would say my active hobby right now is remodeling. So if you ever need DIY tips and tricks of home remodeling, I have a plethora of tips and tricks for any of our listeners.
Maybe you should start a TikTok channel. Get the youths involved. Oh, yeah. It's an opportunity.
It is. It might be an opportunity. I tell you, it's more failures than anything. We call ourselves the do-it-twice carpenters, and there's a reason for that. So, but we're getting there slowly but surely. You know, every square inch of our house needed to be loved a little bit differently, above and beyond 1978. So we're getting there. We're getting there.
A classic. Measure once, cut twice situation.
Yeah, so. We've learned that the hard way. Yeah. And make sure the electricity's off before you cut. So.
Well, listen, that's a YouTube channel I would watch. I can assure you. Yep. Okay, this one's going to throw people for a bit of a loop by the randomness of the question, but what does competitive lawn care mean to you?
Oh, so you put this in there. Yeah. I was wondering if you were going to ask me this question. So competitive lawn care. So yes, weirdly enough, I have this psyche in my brain and I can't unwire it on mowing my yard faster. So I mow about 6.5 acres at the house. And for some reason, I know exactly my personal best record and I try to beat it. And I have a very large lawnmower. I curate the yard, not in a really fancy style. I just make tall grass short. But I am trying to beat a personal record of 2 hours and 48 minutes. And my family knows that when I'm on the lawnmower, you better get into a safe space in a building because if you're, I'm trying to break that record, but doing it safely. But that is competitive lawn mowing in my mind.
Incredible. I love that.
It's a weird thing. I don't know how to.
I love it.
Just listen to those podcasts. I just listen to the Roots podcast when I'm on my lawnmower.
Absolutely. What about a dream destination vacation? Anywhere you really want to go?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. You know, my family spends a lot of time in the Lake of the Ozarks. And I know it's not, you know, Tahiti or Bora Bora. We have a lot of fun times in the lake. And we just really enjoy family time. We're water people, so we take a lot of cruises. I have a ton of information and tips and tricks on cruising, if that is your style. Love for any teammate to come and talk to me about that, but always looking for new places and destinations to go while on a cruise ship as well. So we just really enjoy the water, whether it's a lake or it's a big, huge ocean.
What's the longest cruise you've been on?
Been on a 12-day cruise. I would say that one was a little long for my husband, but we went all the way down to Aruba. And it was fun. It was great. It was great to see that part of the world. And it's cool on a cruise ship because every morning you wake up and you're in a different country and you get to experience a different culture. And that's kind of why I like cruising.
I love that. Okay. Shoes on in the house or off in the house?
Well, considering that we're in remodel, we are definitely a shoe on kind of family right now. We don't even have carpet in some rooms right now because we're tearing it up. So you have to keep your shoes on. But I've always been a shoe on kind of family. I mean, even growing up, we were a shoe on family. So I know people are very particular about this. This is a sensitive topic.
It matters.
What are you?
Hard hitting questions. I'm a shoe off. I kick your shoe those off. Bad boys off. If I don't
right
have
you
to
walk
wear
in the
shoes,
door,
before sometimes kick them off outside.
Right? Oh, just,
I won't put them back on till tomorrow morning.
Really? Oh,
oh no.
Yeah. I we're shoe on. So next time, if you're ever in Omaha and you want to come over and help me with my yard, feel free to keep your shoes on when you walk in the house. And then I'll put you to work in the remodeling space.
I'm going to break your lawn mowing record.
Oh, man, it's on.
I'm coming for a trophy. Okay, last question. And this might not apply to you. I'm not sure. I don't know this about you. Starbucks or Dunkin'? Or no coffee, but I'm not sure if I'm willing to accept that as an answer.
Okay. I'm going to give a plug to a local Omaha Midwest. I'm not Starbucks and I'm not Dunkin'.
Okay.
1000% Scooters.
Scooters. I almost added that to the list and I didn't.
Scooters all the way, 100%. And really, it's I need to break this habit. It might be coming a hobby. It's pretty regular every couple days. It is a flavor of the day with almond milk and one Splenda. So it keeps me within my budget limits. It's only like $3.28.
Yeah.
It's not like a $7 or $8 cup of coffee. But it is a requirement for my 8 o'clock morning meetings and just my morning pickup. So Scooters all the way.
That Snickerdoodle flavor of the day. I'm a Starbucks. Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly have a coffee at home though. Most of the time I coffee at home, but
nice. That's probably the more economical way that we should all be doing that.
I think that all I can really support is anti Dunkin'. So I'm pretty on board with anything, but I'm relatively anti Dunkin'.
Well, I'm going to say something, and this might also like spark a lot of controversy on our podcast, but I am a huge fan of the coffee we serve here in Farm Credit Services of America buildings. And I would say there's like a divide here. Some people absolutely love it. Some people think it's not good. I'm a fan. So
that's a hot take, Jackie. I don't know that I love the coffee in office.
I'm a drinker and I'm a coffee drinker. Let's just put it that way. I'm a coffee drinker. And I probably drink 2 or 3 cups of the home brew every single morning. So that's incredible. That's my favorite time of the day to sit with teammates and just grab a cup of coffee and connect.
Well, next time I'm there, we'll grab a cup of coffee.
Please do. And next time I'm where you're at, I'm going to do the same. I'll force myself to go to Starbucks, I guess.
I'll make you a cup of coffee.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. This has been awesome to connect with you. And I hope our listeners thought about this a little bit more and thought about how they're showing up and how they can help, all of us to be successful and change. So thank you for this opportunity. I sincerely appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jackie. This has been such a fun conversation. And thank you so much for sharing your insights into leading through change and executing with transparency. It's really been such a pleasure having you on the Bridge podcast. And to our listeners, I hope that you found value and insight in today's episode. And I hope that you enter into this time of change with a curious mind. Moving forward, for any questions, comments, or feedback, ideas for future podcasts, anything like that, please email $roots. Don't forget to engage with us on Yammer with our podcast ponder from today's episode on a chance to earn some Roots swag. Also, keep an eye out for upcoming Roots events, signups on Access America. We've got some exciting events on the horizon, including a nursery visit in May, an organic farm visit in July, and a sunflower operation in August. Not to mention, and what I'm most excited about is the Nebraska volleyball coach, John Cook, is coming to the Omaha office to speak on June 12th. So
woo-hoo!
Make that a
priority.
Go
Nebraska volleyball. That's cool. So, I've heard all about that. So that is super, super cool.
We're very excited about that one. So you can catch the next Bridge podcast episode featuring Roots in September. And in the meantime, be on the lookout for June's episode of The Bridge featuring Beacon. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.